Every time it just gets better. I'd never been to a Bible conference where they had an ordination service, and I wish that they could have it every time now. That's a blessing. And I'll tell you, it's a great... Anytime a church can have an ordination service like that, it's a blessing to the church, because you get a Bible study. I mean, you get well indoctrinated in just a couple of hours, you know, of preaching and interrogation. And if you ever wanted to know what Baptists believe, just sit in on a meeting like we had this afternoon. Well, I'll tell you, that was great. And I'll tell you something. I hope I can tell you this blessing that I got this afternoon without getting too emotional. But what blessed my heart the most, I think, this afternoon was after the ordination was all done, and we were singing a song, and the pastor had said, "Well, y'all start coming up here and shake their hand." And it seemed like there for a moment there was a slight pause or a hesitation on the people to come forward. And then one of the folks from the West Milton group burst out there, and when they did that, the whole bunch of them, I mean, you couldn't... And when I saw that, it really touched my heart. I like to see people who love their pastor. A brand new pastor. And the sheep, you know, it was like they opened the sheep gates, and here come the sheep to hug their new pastor. Praise God. What a blessing that was. That touched my heart, I tell you what. Really did. I'm thankful to be here. I appreciate this church. I appreciate the kindness. You've helped me. You've helped pay some of my expenses, and I surely didn't expect that. We came down here last week and preached a meeting down in Clarksville for Brother Garner Smith, and they helped us with our plane ticket and everything too. Man, I tell you, this is a great vacation. This is wonderful. And we preached all week long there, and I got to renew some friendships there in Clarksville. My wife hadn't been back down there in that part of the country since 1978. That's when we left Clarksville and went out and started a mission work, what they call a pioneer work out there in the great Northwest. And we did mission work, home mission work, for about 18 months. And then we had a small group of about 15 people who were lettered out of the South Park Missionary Baptist Church in Seattle, Washington, for the purpose of organizing a Sovereign Grace Old Landmark Missionary Baptist Church in Tacoma, Washington. And we did that, and the people there asked me as the missionary pastor to stay on as their pastor, and I've been there ever since. And I believe that's where the Lord set me, put me there. And I want to be a blessing to those people, and by God's grace tonight, I hope that I can be a blessing for you tonight too as we look into the Word of God. Let's start, let's do that. Let's turn in the Scriptures now to Psalms 100. In the Psalms, there's a short little psalm there, Psalm number 100, just five short verses. I'd like to use that as our text this evening to get us started. You pray for me. Several have already mentioned that they said, "You preach and I'll pray," and I sure appreciate that, because I am very nervous. I'm not used to a crowd like this. My flock, if we're fortunate to have 20 in Sunday school, Sunday mornings, and so when I get in a crowd like this, I get real nervous, and I appreciate the water. I always get real dry here when I stand up here at a meeting like this. And I appreciate the water. If you found your place there, now let's take a look here at this psalm and see if we can get a blessing from it. And I don't see how you cannot get a blessing from a psalm like this. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Don't you feel like doing that? I believe we've heard some of that tonight. Some of the singing, some of the preaching. And by the time I get done, now you can probably tell if you don't know me very well, my voice is just on the verge of coming back from the preaching there, and I hope that it'll last through the message tonight. But if it doesn't, you may hear just a joyful noise, and that'll be about all that I can do. But I'll tell you, it will be a joyful noise. The Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Amen. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. What a blessing this is. What a great and wonderful song of praise we have here in Psalms 100. A psalm of praise, it says here. And man, doesn't that just bless your heart? I feel like reading it again because it's just such a blessing to me. Just to think that God is God. That's what it says here. Do you know that tonight? Do you know in your heart that God is God? And it says here in verse 3, and there's a thought here in verse 3 that I want to take and use and think on just for a few moments tonight. There in that second phrase there, it says that it is He that made us. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. Some people pride themselves in saying, you know, I'm a self-made man. I'm not. God made me. God made me. I am what I am by the grace of God. If God's grace hadn't intervened in my life, I would still be a drunkard. I would still be in the slime pits of sin and degradation. I tell you, every single one of us here tonight come from bad stock. Every single one of us come from a line of dirty, rotten, low-down scoundrels. Sinners, low-down sinners. And what we need is God's sovereign grace to work in our hearts, in our lives, if we're ever going to be anything for God and His glory. Oh, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. God made me tonight. I am what I am by the grace of God. It is He that hath made us. Now, of course, we know and we understand tonight that God is the Creator. I don't think there would be hardly anyone here tonight that would challenge us on that. I think just about everyone here would say, amen, Brother Killian, that's right. God is the Creator. We heard it preached in this conference already. He created out of nothing time, space, and matter. There was nothing. There was a time, like Pink says in one of his books, he says there was a time, if indeed time it can be called, when there was no angels, there was no glory in heaven in the sense of created things there to praise Him. There were no seraphims or teraphims or you know, cherubims or any of those things. Those living creatures that fly around the throne all day long, if there is a day, all they ever do is just hover around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. Oh, that's who God is. And there was a time when that wasn't there, but God was still there. God is ever holy. He's the eternal God of the universe. He's the one that created those angels that sing about His glory and tell about His holiness and just preach. That's all they ever do. All day long they just preach the same three-point message. Holy, holy, holy. That's all they preach. All day long that's all they preach. Oh, God is holy. And you know what? They'll never quit. If they ever quit it, they'll go to hell. and there won't be any salvation for them. But God is holy. God is on the throne. And there was a time when none of those things were going on, but God was still just as holy. God was still just as glorious. God was still just as wonderful as He is tonight. And I'll tell you what, if you can sit through a meeting like we had today and not know that God is wonderful, I'll tell you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong somewhere. Oh, you need something in your heart and life. You need God's grace to get a hold of you. Oh, God, help us tonight. If there's anyone tonight who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, may tonight be the night where He would introduce Himself to you. Not where He would knock on your door, but where He would say, He would command the gates to be open. That's what the Bible says God does. The Bible doesn't say that God tries to knock on some heart's door. The Bible says He commands the gates to be open, and they open. That's the God of the Bible. He's sovereign. He's King of the universe. And He is Creator. He created time, space, and matter. He spoke them into existence out of nothing. Poof, there they were. Time, space, and matter. Just out of nothing, coming into existence. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's the Hebrew word bara, and it means to create absolutely. Down in verse 7, it says talking about His creation. It uses a different Hebrew word, the Hebrew word bara, and yatsar. And it says, it talks about molding into shape. And it's wonderful to study those things and to do word studies on those. How that God created the universe. He spoke things into existence out of nothing. He took matter and He molded it. And He framed the worlds, the Bible says. He framed. Some of you may be carpenters and you know how to frame a house. God framed the worlds. That's what He did. He framed the worlds. And the Bible says that he molded things into shape and made them just the way that He wanted to. And you know the wonderful thing about it is when you get done reading those marvelous chapters about the creation of this world and about the creation of man and all of those things, it says that when God got done doing everything that He did, it's almost as if He just says, well, that's very good. That's very good. Well, of course it's very good. God did it. God can't do anything bad. Everything that God does is good. In fact, it's better than good. It's very good. Well, that's what God did in creation. There's no doubt about it. God is the Creator. Now, all of the false religions in the world deny the creation. In fact, they've got it backwards. If you ever notice it, you read some of the writings of some of these learned gurus and everything, you know, they've got things backwards. All of the false religions in the world teach that matter is eternal and that the gods evolved out of that. Well, that's totally backwards. God is the only one that is eternal. God is the one that spoke matter into existence. God created with the word of His power. He spoke the world into existence. I mean, He made it, and He did it. When he got ready to say it's good, you know, it's very good. I mean, that's looking right down into the atomic makeup of everything. I mean, He knew all the molecules. He knew all where the atoms and the protons and the neutrons and all that stuff are. He knows all about DNA. He knows all about that. He created it. He spoke it into existence out of nothing. He is the Creator. The truth is that only God is eternal. Everything else came into existence, was created, and began. Now, God exists, yes, amen, but He never came into existence. Now, that's one that I've never been able to figure out. I just believe it by faith. God is God. He is the I am. The eternal I am of the Scriptures. That's what he told Moses when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses said, well, who should I say he's going to send me? Who should I say he's going to do all this? He said, I am. Just I am. And that was good enough. And who is this I am? Well, it's the resurrection. It's the bread of life. It's the good shepherd. It's the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Before Abraham was, I am. That's who we're talking about tonight. And we're talking about the one who spoke the world into existence, who created the world. Back in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The worlds were framed. That's a Greek word there in the, they tell me, I don't know if I can pronounce it just exactly right, katartizo, and it means to render complete. Yeah, that's what God did. He rendered this old creation. He rendered the universe complete. Yeah, everything that he wanted to make, he made. And beloved, when it comes to redemption, everything that he wanted to redeem, he redeemed. And there's no difference. God is sovereign in creation, and beloved, God is sovereign in recreation. He's sovereign any way you want to look at it. And the Bible says that he framed the worlds and talks about things that were made, talking about things that come into existence. Over in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 3, John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Acts the 17th chapter and verse 24, Acts 17, 24, it says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Who are we talking about tonight? We are talking about the sovereign Lord, the God of the Bible, the King of the universe, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, the one that made us. Amen. The one who made us. In back in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, Revelation 4 and verse 11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, he's got all those anyway, but you know, when we worship God, we just feel like that. Oh, we wish we knew how to give him glory. We wish we knew how better to give him praise and to worship him and to adore him and to honor him. He doesn't really need us, but when we love him, when he's worked it, a work of grace in our hearts, and we love him so much for what he's done for us, we want to give him glory. We want to give him honor. But he doesn't really need it, but he's pleased when we come before him to worship him, and we have that desire to give him glory and to give him honor. It's like I don't know if I can't even think of a good illustration to describe it, but he doesn't need it, but he likes it when we try to give it to him. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, how many young people here tonight attend the public school system? How many here actually attend a school in the public school system? You know, it wouldn't hurt you to write down some of these verses of scriptures that we've just read. And, you know, if you ever have the opportunity, you might be able in casual conversation with one of your teachers say, I've been studying in a class, and my textbook said this. What do you think about it? God is creator. Listen, my friends, don't let the secular humanism of modern day government schools brainwash you into thinking that God is not creator, because He is. He is creator. He made us. Now, this may sound strange, but I believe that even lost men believe it. I believe they do. I believe they know that it's true. Even lost men, even lost people know that it's true. No matter how they may try to deny it, and I know they do. They do try to deny it, but I believe deep down in their heart, they really know that God is God, that He is the King of the universe, that He is the ruler. Lost people know that. The reason I believe that is because it says so in the Bible. Over there in Romans, if we turn over there to Romans for a moment, Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 22, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's why I believe that even the most militant atheist, so-called, really deep down in his heart, knows and believes that God is really real. And it says that one of the reasons why they know that, not only has God showed it to them in their heart, but they can look around in creation, and creation speaks. I mean, the heavens declare His handiwork. I mean, the creation is proof that God is God, and He is King, and He is on the throne. Now, there are many other biblical proofs that we could give tonight on this subject, but this is just kind of introducing a thought here. And then I've got 17 points. No, I'm just kidding. But I do want to shift gears here in a moment and think, rather than from the physical point of view, I want to switch over to a more spiritual kind of way of looking at things. God created us. There's all kinds of biblical proof of that. In fact, there's all kinds of scientific proof of that. We're getting off of the... We'll just shift gears here as quick as we can here. Push in the clutch and shift gears here. God created us, not just physically, but those of us that are here tonight who are saved by the grace of God, did you know that you've been made? You've been made. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God made you what you are. You didn't make yourself a believer. God made you a believer. When God saved you by His grace, He's the one that made you a Christian. He's the one that made you a believer. He's the one that granted to you what you needed to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. You didn't have it within yourself to work up or work out. You didn't have anything in yourself to make yourself a child of God. If you are a child of God tonight, just as sure as God made you as a human being, if you're a child of God tonight, God made you a child of God. And that's what we want to think about just for a few moments tonight. We'll quickly go, Brother Garner, about 7 verses of Scripture, all right? And then we'll turn it over to to Brother Garner tonight. But listen, the thing that I want you to think about just for the next few moments is how that as a child of God, He made you. Not necessarily, I mean, I get excited about the creation of God. I do. But listen to me. Let's just kind of park that over here for a moment and think about our salvation. Boy, I tell you, there's some blessings there. There's some blessings there that we can get. If we get a hold of them, wow. Wow, we will be shouting from here all the way to Tacoma, Washington. Praising God for the fact that He made us. He made us in ways that go far beyond the mere physical creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says that He made us the righteousness of God. Did you ever stop and think about that? We have been made, we who are believers, we who are saved by the sovereign grace of God, we have been made the righteousness of God. God made us that. That's amazing to think that God would do such a thing. To take such fallen, undeserving creatures and make us the righteousness of God. He made me the righteousness of God. When God looks at me, He sees me as if I am His only begotten Son. He sees me as perfect as the Son of God Himself. He made me righteous. He made us the righteousness of God. I said 2 Corinthians. I haven't got there yet, but let me turn there quickly and read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 21, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." That's what happened when you, by God's grace, repented of your sins and by faith trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God made you the righteousness of God. As far as He's concerned, that's what you are. Under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the righteousness of God. You've been made the righteousness of God. Oh boy, hallelujah. Praise God. Think of what He did to cause us to be exceedingly just. That's what He did. He made us to be as the Savior, the sinless Son of God. He made us to be He made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a marvelous thought. That's a marvelous thought to think on. Each one of these things are worthy of meditation. We could get a blessing from them. Just read it and just roll it around. What does it say, Brother? Brother Grigsby says, just wander it around for a while. Wander it around and get a blessing from it. Take these verses of Scripture and just dwell on them, meditate on them, think on them, and pray and ask God, "Lord, just make this real to me." It's wonderful to think that He made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then, you know, another Scripture says that He made us accepted in the Beloved. He made us accepted in the Beloved. It's not like that, you know, we got ourselves in somehow. You know, we walked the aisle. We shook the preacher's hand. We prayed the sinner's prayer. You know, we did this, we did that. No. Now, if you are accepted in the Beloved tonight, it's because He made you. He made you accepted in the Beloved. That's why if you are accepted in the Beloved tonight, it's because of God's grace. It's because He made you that way by saving you from your terrible ungodly sins. Over there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. What God's Word says, I like it. I like that. Oh, how wonderful. We have been graced, we have been endued with special favor. God graced you, Brother Don. He just come along and he graced you. And when he graced you, he made you accepted in the Beloved. I like it. I tell you what, if you can't get excited about this, boy, I tell you, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to just roll it around and wander it around in your heart and in your soul. It'll bless you right down to the bottom of your soul. It will. It will. It'll bless you through and through to think that He made me, of all people, accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved. And I'm accepted in Him. Because He made me that way. That's wonderful. Oh, glory. And he made us to sit in heavenly places. I don't even know. I can't even scratch the surface on what that scripture might mean. I think I got sort of a taste of it this last couple of days here. But maybe that's not even, maybe this is nothing. You ever think about that? Because the Bible says that He made us to sit in heavenly places. Woo! Somebody said earlier in the conference, the best is yet to come. I said, how am I going to stand it? No wonder God has purposed to give us glorified bodies. I don't think I can stand much more of this in the old flesh. No wonder He has purposed to give us glorified bodies, so that we can sit in heavenly places. Man, if this isn't heavenly, why? I guess we don't know what is. To think that He has made us to sit. I mean, it's settled. Everything that God does is settled. I mean, He created, He spoke. Matter came into existence. Space. All of a sudden there was meters and kilometers and miles and foot and inches. Never was that before. But all of a sudden God said, there it was. Space. Space. Whew. I can't even imagine no space. But there was a time, if time can it can be called, when there was no space. And God said, well, said to Himself, it's about time for some space. Poof. There it was. Space. And time started ticking. Wasn't no time before that. Time started ticking. Tick, tick, tick. And matter. The sun and the moon and the stars, the old earth, the H2O water and dirt and all of it, praises God. Sometimes it makes you wonder, you know, inanimate matter sometimes is smarter than we are because it always does what God wants it to do. Always does. I mean, that's what did they say? They said, when Jesus came along, said, "Why, if they didn't praise Him, why the rocks would cry out? Why, sure they would. If God wanted the rocks to cry out, they'd cry out, praise God. They would." God said one time, He said, "Earth, open up." The earth opened up. Yeah. One time, God said, "Red Sea, open up." Yeah. Red Sea, open up. Inanimate matter sometimes is smarter than we are because it always obeys the voice of the Creator. Always does. Always. An axe handle, an axe head floats in water. It's actually impossible. Not with God. And He made us to sit in heavenly places. Heavenly places. Oh, how wonderful. He made us nigh by the blood. Made us nigh. That's an old archaic word, you know. Just simply means that He got us real close. He got us real close. He made us nigh. It's like hug. It's like He just, oh, it's hug time in heaven. He made us nigh by the blood. Not by His death, but by His blood He made us nigh. That's how we get nigh unto God. Not by the death of Christ, but by His blood, by His shed blood. I'm thankful that Christ died and was buried and rose again. I rejoice in that. I say hallelujah for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could not be saved if it wasn't for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I got another thing for you. We couldn't be nigh if it wasn't for the blood. Amen. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll get off of that, but I'll tell you what. There's some elegant preachers today that are denying the blood, and it's shame on them. Shame on them for doing that. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." That's chapter 1, but that was a good verse. I was supposed to be reading in chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. By the blood of Christ, ye who sometimes were far off made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been brought from a distance to at hand. I'm going to slip in an extra point that I heard the pastor preach on this morning. Or this afternoon, has to do with ministers. I didn't realize it, but everyone who is a genuine minister of God are made. God made you. God made you. God made you a minister. He read it this afternoon in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7 there. Let's see here. Yeah, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power." Yeah, if you're a God-called preacher, if you have been used of the Lord in any way in a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ and ministering to the saints of God and reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, God made you a minister. That's a blessing. That's the only way that I could ever be up here doing what I'm doing tonight. I never would have dreamed in a million years that God would ever call me or use me to preach the Word of God. Brother Randy said that he used to take a failing grade. Me too, brother. When I was going to school, I'd read the books. I'd write the book report, but I would not get up in front of the class and give an oral book report. No way. No way, Jose. I tell you what, I would not do it. I took an F. I took a... They gave me E's. I don't know. They gave me E's. I don't know what that was, but it meant you failed. But that's what they gave me. They gave me E's. And I'd read the book, wrote the report, but I would not get up and and stand before a class and do it. And now, I told somebody one time, and now my whole life is a book report. God made me a minister. This isn't my thing. Not really. God made me a minister. And he made me nigh. He made me sit in heavenly places. He made me the righteousness of God. He made us meet to be partakers. Another old archaic word, you know. In other words, he made us fit to be partakers. He qualified us to be partakers of heavenly things. That's what the scriptures say. If it was left up to us, there's no way we could qualify. But the Bible says that He made us meet. He made us qualified. He made us qualified in Christ Jesus. Made us meet to be partakers. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh my! Oh my! Oh my! Can't you just see? You know, remember the story of the transfiguration when Christ was there on the mountaintop, and you know, Peter, James, and John went up there, and of course they fell asleep, and then who was it? Moses and Elijah, I think it was, that appeared there and glory there. I mean, it was just a glorious scene. And oh, Peter, you know, he wakes up. He said, "Oh, it's good that we're here." He said, "Let's build some tabernacles." And let's, you know, He made us fit to be partakers. His salvation is perfect from start to finish. He's the author and finisher of our salvation, our faith. It's perfect in every way. If there was a wagon load going to heaven right now, tonight, none of us are qualified. I mean, we couldn't hack it. We couldn't stand heaven the way we are. But the Bible says that He made us meet to be partakers. One of these days, can you imagine? I can't imagine how wonderful heaven is really going to be like. You read the Word of God, you read the Bible, and you read these things, you know, about streets of gold and, you know, walls of jasper, gates made out of one pearl. Wow. One great big giant gates made out of one pearl. Oh, man. I said, where'd that oyster come from? Whew. You know, one pearl. Heavenly gates made out of one pearl. Streets of gold, walls of jasper. I mean, the celestial city is so glorious that if you were to see it on a hill from or on the horizon, I mean, it would glisten. It would be like looking at a transparent gem of some kind. It's amazing. And the Bible says that God made us equipped for that. Wow. That's glorious. He made us meet to be partakers with the sons of light. And not only that, He made us heirs. Heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. Titus 3:7. Because of gracious justification, we have a promised possession as sons of God. How wonderful, how marvelous. And then also He made us kings and priests. Revelation, there in Revelation talks about He made us kings and priests. Revelation 1:6. We have royal power because God made us that way. We have royal power because God has made us kings and priests. royal power in His kingdom. Man. I know, you know, many people, they don't really understand how God made the worlds. You read some of the modern day textbooks, so-called science books, falsely so-called. You watch special programs on the public network, and they talk about billions and billions of years ago. You know, they're not equipped for it. They don't understand how God made the worlds. The way you understand it is by faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And oh, they say, oh no, we got to dig down here to this layer and that layer. And you know, that's going to prove that somehow billions and billions of years ago, a tadpole turned into a monkey or something, you know. Oh, that's brilliant. Well, the reason that they don't understand how that God made us in creation is because they haven't been made. You know what I mean? They haven't been made. I mean, they've been created physically, but what they need is to be made. What they need is to be made the righteousness of God. They need to be made heirs and joint heirs with the Son of God. They need to be made to sit in heavenly places. Yeah. Boy, I tell you what. Some of you youngsters, it's a good thing. It's a good thing that your parents made you sit in this conference. You'll be thankful for it one of these days. You may not have appreciated it. You may not have appreciated it. Some of you, you know, you were interested in other things. I saw you. You were interested in other things. You weren't paying attention to what the preacher said. Might be some of you that are not even paying attention right now. But I'll tell you something. The most important message you'll ever hear in your whole life will be in a meeting similar to this. You were made by God in heaven. Just as sure as you've got fingers and toes. Just as sure as you've got eyes and a nose. You were made by God in heaven. And listen, if your parents make you come to meetings like this, one of these days...